But as I was reading this scripture the other day, and it just really hit me because it was my life. It was what the Lord had done for me. It also reflected what other people thought about me. And you know, that's not always good. People don't always think of you the way that you think of yourself. You ever notice that? Sometimes they might think of you better. Sometimes, typically, they seem to have a lower opinion of you. And sometimes what you do shocks people. When I have spoken with some of my friends that have not spoke with me in a long period of time, and when I told them I was now ministering, I heard a long, dead silence on the other end of the line. Typically, I would hear the phone drop or their body drop to the floor because they're like, really? And so I can only imagine what the Apostle Paul went through. Having the reputation that he had, being a persecutor of the church, to then have people say, you're doing what? With who? Come on, what are you setting them up just so you can get them in all one location and kill them all at the same time? And so there were factions, giving you a little background about what we're going to read here, there were factions of ministers that were out there spreading the word that Paul, they should not listen to Paul because he didn't sit under the 12 apostles. He wasn't taught by them. And that because of his past, it negated his ability to be a servant of the Lord. Thank goodness that our past does not dictate our future. True? Amen to that? Because I tell you what, we like to hold on to the past. We like to say, I can't do this because, or I can't do that because. But if you truly believe in the scripture and what Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, that means we have to forget about the past and move forward. Forget about what other people think and just do it. So let's go into the scripture here. It says, like I said, I'm going to jump from verse 1, then I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 11. It says, from the Apostle Paul and from all the followers with me, I was chosen to be an apostle. That's a strong statement right there, to say I was chosen to be an apostle by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from death. No mere human chose or appointed me for this work. I'm going to stop right there and say that this is what really, when I heard, you know, I just start listening to this and bam, right out of the gate it gets me. But I had people in my own family that when I was with them in a large setting one time, and some other people asked me around my family members what I was doing, I said, well, I am pastoring out in Grimes. And this family member said to me, quote, well, you're not really a pastor because you've never been to seminary. And you see, we as humans, a lot of times, and the reason I say that story and relate that story, and I'm sure this is what Paul went through, people were trying to tell him he was not qualified to do what he was doing, even though he was called by God. I've had other pastors, other ministers that have said the same thing to me. Well, you're not really a minister because you haven't X, Y, Z. And I like, wow. No, I know the voice of God. See, no mere human chose or appointed me to this work. I can honestly stand before you today and tell you, I did not ask for this job. I didn't want this job. I wasn't seeking this position as a minister. But isn't it funny that many of us remember the story that Paul was knocked down on that road to Damascus. True? Christ knocked him down. And he says, why are you kicking against me? And I wasn't kicking against God. You know, I wasn't trying to persecute Christians. I just really didn't want anything to do with them. You know, I'll be honest. I just wanted to live my life, live it the way I wanted to live it. And yet he called me. And I understood and I heard his voice. And that's the part that, you know, if you tell a non-believer that you heard the voice of God, they look at you like a dog looks at you when it's heard of noise for the very first time, and they don't understand what it is. I get that look from our dog all the time. Here's the one thing I didn't do. I didn't go out immediately and seek the permission from anybody. I had to get authority. I had to get okay to come here. But I didn't go take a straw poll. I didn't ask anybody else if this is what I should do. Because if we follow along in the scripture even more, listen to what Paul says here. He says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born," notice I highlighted that part, I darkened that one up, bolded it. "He set him apart before he was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I didn't immediately consult with anyone." This is what really just took me when I heard this. Because how many times have I heard men say or women say, "Oh, I felt the calling, and so I went to school and I got all the education. I did this and I did that." That's fine. When God calls us into service, we need to act now. Now. Immediately. Because that's what he said. I did not immediately consult with anybody. I just went and did as God instructed me to do. And I got to really thinking about that. Because how many times have we gotten instructions maybe from God, and we go out and we seek, "Well, you know, God put this on my heart. What do you think, Brother Allen? You think that's a good thing? Or Mom, what do you think here? You know, or John, what do you think? Stuart, what do you think? Marie?" We go to all kinds of people, and then if it meets with their approval that it can be done, we do it. I remember hearing one time, and this is secular, not Christian. Michael Jackson had many, many, many good songs, right? Became very well famous for. He would always ask people about doing the video parts to the songs. He goes, "What do you think of this idea for the song?" And he'd ask 10 of his closest friends. If they all said no, he knew it was the right thing to do. Interesting, isn't it? You see, when God gives us instructions, when God calls us to do something, he'll provide the instructions on how to do it. We don't need to go to somebody and say, "Well, how do you think I ought to accomplish this?" What was Paul's first instruction? He's blind, can't see. God tells him, "Go to Damascus and meet with Ananias, and he'll heal your eyes." Great. But what did God do? He left him in the dark for 3 days. Have you ever felt like after God called you that you've been in the dark because you just don't know what to do? You're walking and you're going, "Lord, you called me. I want to serve you, but Lord, I just don't know what to do. Just don't know what to do." Well, the good part is that God, if he is having you walk through a time of darkness, he is also in that darkness to bring you out into the light. What he wants us to do is not to look upon anybody else for that direction, but to discover him for ourselves. I can teach you, show you things in the Bible, just as Charlotte can do the same thing in her Bible study over with the BFS. But unless the person itself gets in and studies and gets and makes that personal unto them, it's just a written word. There's that old saying that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, right? Well, we as pastors, though, we can salt the oats and make you thirsty. We hopefully get you to yearn to drink of that living water, to go and lay down next to the still waters. See, when you're a man like what Paul was ambitious. I was very ambitious. See, I wanted to be a professional ball player. True? You guys know that. I was a professional ball player. But my goal was not just to be a professional ball player. I wanted to be the best that ever lived. Now, that sets it a little bit higher. I wanted to be in the same, when you mentioned Ty Cobb, you also thought of Marty Decker. When you mentioned the name Babe Ruth, you thought of the name Marty Decker. I wanted to be one of the legends that played the game. And I wanted to be the top legend that played the game. This is the ambition that Paul had within the Jewish people. He didn't want to just be another minister. He wanted to be the head honcho. He was raised his whole life to be that head man. And he thought he was passionate about it. And he thought he was serving the Lord in the right way. But he had what we call today blind ambition. Anybody know that has blind ambition? They go and go and go, and you ask them, where are you going? I don't know, but I'm doing a good job getting there. I'm going to blaze a trail. There's dead bodies all behind him. And that's what Paul had. He had dead bodies all behind him. And then the Lord calls him. What is he doing? And the people around says, Lord, how can you call a scoundrel like that? And notice, I just switched it from him to me. But did I also switch it to you? Because you think about your own life. Some of us have lived maybe not quite so scoundrelous lives. I did. It's funny. Everything that I said I wasn't going to do and what I was going to be in life, I did. Good, bad, and ugly. We all have characteristics that we see from our parents that we say, I am never going to be like that. You all laugh because you know you catch yourself being like that. Do you not? You say something and you go, my mother just came back. I see my dad in me. And some of you, you know, had better role models for parents and some of us didn't. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we just fall into it. And once we fall into it, it's too easy to stay there. See, because our bodies, our minds, our souls, our spirit, they always want to take that path of least resistance. And sometimes we say to ourselves, well, I've started down this path, it's too late to turn back now. But I'll tell you right now, with Jesus Christ, it's never too late. He took me from where I was, and he transformed me in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. No man can change another man in a heartbeat. Think about that. And that was Paul's testimony. He's going, you know who I was. His testimony is what he was in the past, but who he is now in Jesus Christ. Man cannot transform you like that. I don't care how hard you work at it. Man cannot transform himself like that. But Christ can transform you in a blink of an eye. And he took me from everything that I was doing, my thoughts, how I perceived life, and changed it that quick. That quick. I remember long before I was called to be a minister here, I was telling my dad one time when he came up to see me up in, he and mom came up to see me up in Portland, when I was probably at my depth of living the way I shouldn't live. And I don't know if mom knew that, but I knew it. And dad and I were just there by ourselves. And I was going, Dad, can you believe it? I got a call from the pastor down at the Nazarene Church in Upland, California, which is my hometown where I was born. I was going, Dad, he wanted me to go be the youth pastor. My dad says, yeah. I said, Dad, I'm not qualified to be a youth pastor. You know how, I said, I'm not even close to the Lord right now. And his answer to me was, son, You're one prayer away. You're one prayer away. But me, being so stubborn as I was, remember, I was wanting to be the best of the legends. I was too close. And I think with Paul, what would have happened there? If after God knocked him down, he's going, too close, God. I'm too close. But you know, when God gets a hold of you, I've had people say, well, how do you know it's the voice of God? They ask you in that cynical question. How do you really know it was the voice of God? Oh, you know. If anybody here has heard or been touched by the Spirit of the Lord or by God Himself, you know when it's the Lord and you know when it's you. First hint, it's going to be contrary to anything that you really thought you'd ever want to do. I never, ever, in a million, kajillion, bazillion years would have thought that I'd be standing up here as a pastor in front of you. Didn't want to. Had no desire to. But when God gets a hold of you and transforms you, He gives you a whole different heart. And you don't need... I've heard so many people say, I'm just going to keep going, Lord. I've heard so many people say, well, I don't know what to say to somebody. I don't know how to witness. I remember in our other church, we used to practice witnessing. And that always felt like putting on an odd side shoe, you know, or a shirt that didn't fit. It just didn't feel right. You ever put on a piece of clothes? You ever put on a shirt backwards? You just know immediately, don't you? If you're trying to operate outside what God wants done, it just doesn't feel right. But how many times we have seen in the Old Testament when prophets were called by God, they'd say, oh, I'm too young. I'll give you the words, don't worry. But I can't speak well, send my brother. I'll give you the words. I'll give you your brother too, but I'll give you the words. But I don't have authority. You've got my authority. And God comes through and He gives instructions. When I was passing, going to Grimes, I heard God say, fill in for your dad this week. It doesn't mean I didn't argue with God. He and I had words all the way from about Meridian all the way to Colusa, which is about 10 minutes, 7 minutes if my wife is driving. So there was a lot of time to have a conversation. Do I know if anybody would be sitting in that car if they would have heard the voice? I don't know. I heard it. And I kept hearing him say, fill in for your father. I know you don't want to fill in for your father. And there comes a point in your life when you just have to say, okay, God. Okay. I'll do what you wanted me to do. That's why I told Mom, I have no choice. I have no choice. Because when God lays something on you, you have to do it. I was afraid of what would happen if I didn't do it. You know that feeling. You know how afraid you were when your dad said, do something, and this was like the fifth time, and you knew you could get by with five, but on the sixth one, there was some sort of reprisal, and so you said, okay, I'll do it. You did it reluctantly. I remember that first Sunday. I remember it like yesterday. I was not scared to death at all to preach. I was scared to death to lead the singing. Because I had not, except for our wedding, I had not sang in public since I was in high school. That's what I was fearful of. God gave me a message. He just didn't give me a song. He neglected that part. Oh, did I forget to tell you that? But here's the thing about it. Look at what he says there in verse 15. He says that he had this work set aside for him before he was born. God has a work for you, set aside for you, chosen for you before you were created into this world. Does that mean that you are predestined? No. You still have the choice of saying, no, ain't gonna do it. But I don't believe that there's not one soul that's born into this world that God does not have His perfect plan for. We're the ones that make it an unperfect plan. We might make it the Marty plan. We might make it the Julie plan. Here's what I found best to work out. Make it the Jesus Christ plan. It goes better. Paul was knocked down. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was called upon God to serve. And my question for all of us today is this, and I'm going to end it with this. I want you to really go home and think about it. What did God save you for?